We're so blessed that you've decided to tune into Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Janelle and Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and Maris is here with us again. And during the sometimes we talk during the breaks before and after our sessions, and she had a very interesting thought about what we were talking about. We were first of all talking about the cups that talks about in the Bible of joy, salvation, judgment, and the suffering that the disciples are expected to be able to do. And so, Maris, share your thoughts with us.
Well, we were reading from Mark 10, and I took it from a perspective when Jesus asked the brothers, like, what do you want? And the way I see it is that Jesus was wanting them to say it out loud because it's like, do you believe in yourself? Because something that I've learned in my personal life is I don't doubt God, I doubt myself. So it's like he wanted to hear them say it out loud, like, could you take of my cup? And Jesus already knew the answer, and everything that we're saying is really good. And on the side of, do you believe in yourself? That's another thing I hear Jesus saying, like, can you take up my cup? What can I give for you? What can I give to you? What do you want? He's like, do you believe in yourself? Tell me what's really in your heart.
Mm-hmm. This is good. And if we have our solid belief in the Lord, the overflow will automatically believe, we'll begin to believe that we can. Because
right.
As we solidify what we understand about his character and what he has done, what he has accomplished, what he will accomplish and continue, we'll discover our character, our trust in ourselves. It changes because we are getting solid on his character.
Mm-hmm.
The first way that Satan attacked in the garden with Eve was, did God really say?
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan works to
put the doubt
mm-hmm. in. And so the doubt comes in, and that it's questioning of God's character and what God's word is. And so you're exactly right. As he is looking at these two possible cousins and talking to them, he's needing them to solidify what they know about him.
That's true.
Because they're not understanding the messianic call that he has. And when they get that down and they understand him, then they themselves will be able to fulfill what God's called them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's profound. And I've noticed in my life that when I have allowed my fears, my doubts, my insecurities to suffocate me from doing the will of God or being in the will of God, it typically comes from that I have not yet solidified what I know about God.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. It's incredible. So what you brought up is a profound, profound thing that they need to get right, because he knows what they're going to bear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so let's go into this passage. Anybody feel comfortable yet to tell the story other than me? Look at you, Janelle's so bad. She's pointing to the visitor. Oh, we're going to make the visitor tell the story today. I wish you guys could have seen that. She was just like throwing Maris under the bus. I was like, what a sister.
Well, she spoke finally, right?
Payback, right?
We did it to Janelle. But you were coming to be on the radio with us on a regular basis. She's so funny. Janelle, you cracked me up. So Janelle, you want to do it? Have at it, babe.
Okay.
I'm just going to have to do it because you put that pointing finger out there. That was hilarious.
Okay, so we're in Mark 10, 35 through 45. And it starts with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, coming up to Jesus and asking him a question. And they say, teacher, could you do us a favor? Sorry, I'm skipping around a place. And Jesus asks, well, what would you like me to do for you? And they say, well, would you let one of us sit at your right and the other one at your left in your glory? And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink or be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? They answered that they can. And then Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But it for me to assign you the seat at my right and my left, that's not for me to grant. Those places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the other disciples heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And then Jesus called all of them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles and lord it over them, their high officials exercise authority over them. but it is not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
This is so good. Thank you, Janelle, mm-hmm. for giving us God's word. So as we looked at the cup last time, I wanted to give you what this commentator said. He said, and it's William Barclay is the person who spoke this. He said, a cup speaks to man's experience that it's allotted by God. Mm-hmm. So when we look at a person's life and we say their cup, it is literally what God has allowed, both the good and the bad. So Job's cup.
That was full.
His cup had great suffering, but it had great joy as well. And so to view a cup for a person's life is everything that God's allotted for them. And within that cup, we have to take into consideration that cup and that allotment is that which will help us to grow to become the person he intends us to be. And so when I meet with the women, one of the things that I feel very strongly about is I want to help them to catch a vision of how Jesus sees them, to catch kind of the cup, to literally take hold of what he's allotted for them. Mm. And I'm reminded of how King David says that you have set the boundaries for me and they are pleasant places. And that God, you know, because a cup, you can only have so much in a cup and then it will overflow. And if you think the boundary line's the rim, and that within the boundary line of the rim of the cup of what God is pouring into my life, it is a pleasant place when I am in the will of God. Now, if I'm in wickedness, now obviously that's judgment, but if I am seeking the will of God, it's joyful, it is eternal, it is nourishing, it is a blessing. And wow, and I just made a connection to a prayer I prayed this morning. Every morning as I drive my son to school, we pray, and I'm so blessed. I mean, here he is. He's a sophomore in high school, and even when Michaela was the one that drove him before she went to college, they kept up that tradition for the 2 years that she drove, that I wasn't the one driving. We prayed before school, and as I was praying this morning, I was just praising God for my family. And that, you know, I'm blessed with a godly husband. I am blessed with a husband that loves the Lord. I'm blessed with a man that seeks to honor God. Blessed with kids that love the Lord. Thankful for what God is doing. And thankful for how he's at work in our lives. And it just occurred to me that that's my cup of blessing. That we all seek to be within the rim. Mm-hmm. None of us try to go outside of God's blessing of the cup of what he's given us. We seek to honor him, and the allotment is good. It tastes good. It is wonderful and refreshing, and so that's a gift when we are willing to be in the rim of what God's given us in our cup, our allotment. Now let's take the question that he brings to them. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I have been baptized? Now, it would be easy for us to think that he is talking about water baptism when he goes to the Jordan River and has John the Baptist baptize him. No, that is not the case, okay? That is not what he's referring to at all. This baptism actually means, are you willing to suffer? Mm. This is the suffering that Sandy was referring to when she was thinking of suffering. And it is a form of consumption. Literally as if you are overwhelmed by the waters. That is what it's referring to. It is literally the calamity of Jesus bearing God's judgment of sin. It's the baptism of what he's taking upon in order for us to have eternal life. And we can read this if Janelle open up to Job 22:11. And Sandy, if you'll do Psalm 69:2. And then I will have Maris do Luke 12:50. Okay. So we want Job 22:11, Psalm 69:2, and Luke 12:50. And so let's read on verses that have the word baptism so that we can see. Do you have it?
Yep.
Go ahead, Janelle.
Job 22:11. Why is it so dark you cannot see, and why a flood of water covers you?
Okay. This is the what it's referring to when it says baptism. Okay, go ahead. Sandy, Psalm 69:2.
I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now let's read the Luke 12:50.
But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how it consumes me until it is finished.
Okay, what's his baptism? It's the death on the cross.
Death.
Mm-hmm. He is wow. Going to the cross. That's literally the immersion of him going into the pit of hell to redeem us, to conquer death.
Wow.
I know. It's like you don't even think of how, like, it's incredible the words, the descriptive words that Jesus uses.
And there's always more to it than.
I know. Yeah. It's so easy for us to overlook this passage. So Isaiah 53, I love this passage. When my kids were little, I gave them a deal. I said I'd pay you $20 if you'd memorize it.
Is that going to be with us too?
The whole chapter.
From a college view.
they worked hard at it. Neither one of them ever got it down, but they did get the concepts because I talked with them about it. I should just give them the $20 because they worked hard at getting the concepts.
Concepts are important.
Concepts are more important than memorization. Yeah. The reason why I did that is, honestly, is I wanted them to read. Isaiah 53 is, it's all about the suffering servant. It is profound. And in particular, in verse 4, it says, yet he himself bore our sickness, and he carried our pains, but we in turn regarded him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. And then verse 11 and 53, it says, he will see it out of his anguish, and he will be satisfied with his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. All right, that is the fulfillment of what he does on the cross. It's the prophecy of what Jesus will do, and it shows how he is placed there by God for this purpose. That's why he came on this earth, was to die on the cross, that our iniquities would be forgiven, that our sins would be forgiven. And that's the baptism that he's partaking of. And so 1 Peter 4:13 says, instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah, so that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of his glory. We cannot be partakers of the glory if we do not partake in the suffering. And I think that's the reason why when they give the four soils, so many walk away, is because they're not willing to deal suffer. With this. Right, mm-hmm. right.
And you also think about Jesus, you know, when he went through all the suffering throughout this, he stood still. He didn't voice, that stillness was probably greater than if he had said anything.
Right, like a sheep to the slaughter is what Isaiah 53 says. He didn't speak. So here they're hearing this, and then they answer, we are able. Mm. And I don't know, impetuous maybe, but certainty for certain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they
said it with confidence.
Right. And so, you know, part of us wants to get on them and judge them because, oh, you arrogant guy is asking to be to the right and left. Mm-hmm. But yet, when it came to, are you going to suffer the way I'm suffering? And they would have understood all these things that we just read as far as Scripture, what it right. says in Old Testament, New Testament, about, Old Testament, excuse me, about what these symbolize. And they're like, yeah, we'll do that for you, bro. Right?
Cause.
I mean,
no problem.
I'm here for you, cuz. Right. right. I mean, seriously, they're willing. Mm-hmm. And that I think that's the reason why Jesus didn't reprimand them.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you even said they grew up in the same streets.
Yeah.
They grew up together. And I mean, family blood is thick.
Very thick then. Yeah.
Well, and we also know what each other's capable of, and Jesus knows everything we're capable mm-hmm. of. But, you know, they're, when it came down to it, they're like, yeah, we're able. And then he says, yep, you will.
Yeah.
You are going to drink what I drink, and you're going to be baptized the way I'm baptized. And then the discussion ends. That's it. He says that, and then he's like, but it's not for me to appoint the seat. It's mm-hmm. already been done. So your question's good, but I can't change what's already been appointed, you know. And
you can almost hear, like, the torment in Jesus' voice when he's like, can you do this with me? Mm-hmm. And they're like, we can. And he's like, you're going to have to suffer these things. Like, he just sees the future and them being able, or them having to go through all of these things and almost wishing that they wouldn't, but like loving them enough to not only not want them to have to go through that, but be willing to let them because mm-hmm. it's for their betterment. Mm-hmm.
But do you ever think that maybe when they were suffering, that they had to go back to that moment when Jesus said that you will?
Mm.
Because they might have questioned, like, I can get out of this. You know, I can backpedal. And maybe, like, that was that one time when you said, I'm holding on to Jesus' words when he said
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's what it means.
I know as a parent and then as a disciple maker, I think the hardest thing for me is to allow somebody else to suffer.
Yeah.
I want to make it
better.
God forgive me. I even want to make it perfect for people.
Yeah.
And yet the very things that I know in my own life that have grown me have been the very things that I have suffered through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not been the blessings. It's not been, I mean, I've been thankful.
That's the easy, yeah.
Yeah, I've been thankful, but I can't say that my character grew in the blessings.
Back to the rich man where he got too comfortable with his wealth.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It has always been through the suffering. And sometimes my sinful choices and then learning to repent. Mm-hmm. But sometimes just from just stuff you can't control, life circumstances and stuff like that, and other people's sinful choices and choosing to love despite or whatever. And so I agree. And it would have been very hard to know that you're saying, mm-hmm. yeah, this is going to happen. So I'm wondering who out there is in the process of a calamity where you feel like the waters are consuming mm-hmm. you. Maybe you feel like you're being baptized in a flood that you can't get through. And I want to remind you that with Jesus, that all things are possible, and that when we are weak, he is strong, and that you can get through those flood waters, mm-hmm. that he'll carry you. You just need to turn to him.
Taste the Lord, for he is good.
Amen. Mm. Yeah, that's a really good one, isn't it? We're glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. If you'd like to contact us, we can be reached at tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or opendoormission.org. And we just want to say thank you to the donors that make this radio station possible. God bless.